Okay, we're starting here with the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Bet. The Mishnah begins, Makom Shana Ugulim Kor Be'imata Kadorei Kachavim Mochrin. Makom Shana Ugusha Lodim Kor Ein Mochrin. That there's subject to Minhag, whether Jews restricted themselves from selling animals that are Behemoth Dakot. Behemoth Dakot are generally animals that are not used for their work. They're not big enough or heavy enough to do actual work, but they're rather brought up for their production, which means either their milk production or their wool production, and those are lighter animals. They're not even generally shechted for their meat, because again, they're more valuable for their production. So those animals is a question subject to Minhag, whether we do or do not sell them to Ovdei Chachamim. The Gemara will tell us the reason behind this is because we are Choshesh L'Reviyah, worried about bestiality with the Ovdei Chachamim. We know that a Ben Noach is subject to a restriction on bestiality because he has one of the Sheva Mitzvah Noach is Arayot. And in Arayot, we say that Bayul Basar Echad, Basar Echad is Bimino, that they can only be or joined together as a couple Bimino, in their min, in their same species. But if they go outside their species, there's a restriction in the Sheva Mitzvah Noach, and then it's Tav on bestiality. So there'll be a problem for the Jew to sell it to the Ovdei Chachamim if he knows or we think he's going to do bestiality with this animal because it's Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol. You're not allowed to do that. So now Tosfos asked the question, which we already spoke about earlier in the Masechta, which is back on Daf Vav. We discussed the fact that when it comes to Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol, there is a qualification of Trei Evrei Denaro. The only time you're in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol is when you actually enable the person to do the Aveira. And without you, they would not be able to do the Aveira. Over here, the Ovdei Chachamim has plenty of behemot that are available to him. So why is your selling of an additional behemot to him a case of Yifnei Ver Lo Titei Mechshol? At best, and this is what we discussed back there in Davav, it's Misayi Le Ovrei Aveira. Meaning that it's, yes, you are helping or enabling someone to do an Aveira, but it's not Yifnei Ver Lo Titei Mechshol, because they accomplished the Aveira even without your help. So Tosfos brings down an answer. Teiritz Rabbi Yehuda, the shiny Revia. Revia is different than other types of Aveirot. Why? Shumit Avel Chol Behema Behema. There's a desire for each behema, each animal. Meaning that when it comes to Revia, that desire for bestiality is not limited to a single animal or can be satisfied by a single animal, but each animal introduces a new desire to him. And therefore, there's a problem with Nei Yiver Le Titei Mechshol, even if he has access to behemot over here. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, whereas when we talk about Behema Daka, it's a subject to Minhog, but Mechoma Komei Mechim Lehem Behema Gasa. Work animals, one is not permitted to sell them, no matter what. That is Isur, and not subject to Minhog. The Gemara will tell us this has to do with Inyanei Shabbos, that it has to do with whether you will be in violation of Shabbos if this animal does work on Shabbos, and therefore we're Choshesh for that issue. Again, we'll get into it in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says, also, Agalim Visayachim. When it comes to calves and colts, which are animals that will eventually be ra'ui l'melacha, eventually they'll reach a point in time where they will do work, but right now they're not capable of doing melacha. So the Mishnah says those are also restricted from doing work. Now obviously there are two possibilities of why this is. Either the possibility is that they will eventually grow up to be able to do work, and therefore we're gozer on these animals because they will reach a state in which they can do work. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is that there is a chiddush over here, that even though generally calves and colts are not used for their work, nevertheless, we say that it's restricted. Why? Because what else would you do with them? So you have production, or you have shechita that you would shecht them. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that nobody would purchase a young animal to shecht it for its meat later on because the type of work and the amount of work you would have to invest in the animal to get it to the point of shechita, therefore is unreasonable. And we have to assume when you sell such an animal to the guy that he's going to use it for its production and for its milacha. And also by sayachim, by colts, the chiddush over there is, even though they are not ra'uyi l'milacha, nevertheless, they are sulam achram. And that might be, again, because of this idea that they eventually might grow up to be larger horses, or maybe they're included in the larger gzeirah. The same thing applies to shlemim ushvurim, that when it comes to these animals, whether they're whole animals, whole meaning here that they're able to accomplish the work that they are designated for, or shvurim, somehow they are injured, damaged, or have a mum that doesn't allow them to do the normal work that's associated with this animal, both of those are restricted. Now, why shvurim? As Tosfos points out here, shvurim is otu, meaning that we don't allow you to sell a shavur because we're worried. once it shows up in the Obed Kochavim's house, then a Jew's going to see it there and say, wow, oh, he sold him a Behema Gasa, so that should be fine. He won't realize that he sold him as a Shavur. Why? Well, what do you think? He'll think that the Jew sold it to him when it was still a Shalem, and it became Shavur in the Goy's house. So therefore, we're worried. It's Gzeiru Otu. We're worried about you selling Shavurim, because then you might come to sell also Shleimim over here. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that and says, Matir Bishvura. He said, if it's unable to do the Malacha, then there's nothing to talk about. You can sell the animal because there's no restriction. Again, we'll see this relates to Shabbos. Now, the last thing is Ben Beteira, who we also saw early in the Masechta. Ben Beteira says, Matir Besus. When it comes to a horse, it's permitted to sell it to them. Why? What's the main purpose of a horse? So Rashi says, if it's a horse, it's designated for riding. When a horse is designated for riding, the person who rides a horse on Shabbos is only in violation of an Isur D'Rabbono, not an Isur D'Oraita. Why is that? Because Chayin Oseh Et Atzmo. Generally, we assume that a human being or living beings carry a part of their weight. So therefore, the horse is not doing the entire work over here. He's not carrying you. You are helping the horse carry you. And therefore, it's only an Isur D'Rabbono, not an Isur D'Oraita, when you sell a horse that is designated for human riding. Tosos over here says about Rashi that it wasn't so miduyak, because the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that even the Chachamim agree when it's a sus that's designated solely for human riding, that it is mutar to sell it to them. When is it a sur? Where is there a nekudat machlok between Ben Beteira and the Chachamim? That's when it comes to birds. When it comes to a horse that is designated for other things to be carried on its back, not only humans, but birds. And there is a question of machlok between Ben Beteira and the Chachamim, whether we say chayinus et atzmo when it comes to birds. Is the horse doing all the work, or is the bird helping out? Ben Beteira says, yes, the bird's helping out, so it's only an Isur D'Rabbanan. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, that it's not Nose Et Atzmo, and therefore there's an Isur D'Oraita. And therefore the Chachamim, it's impermissible to sell it according to Chachamim. And according to Ben Beteira, it is permissible to sell it. So now the Gemara says, V'memra, from this we should conclude, the Isur Aleka, that when it comes to Behema Daka, there is no Isur, Minhag Ohudika. It's all subject to Minhag. Hechad Enoig Isur, Nog. Wherever they were noheg not to sell it, then there was no echadnag heter, no. If they said it was okay, then it was okay. V'minu, wait a minute. How could you say that? We have a bright really a Tosef that says, in mavidim behema b'punda kochel of dekochavim. One may not park his behema overnight in a motel, a motel of an obey kochavim. Why? Neshechashudim al revia. We worry about bestiality when it comes to them, and therefore it's a problem of lifnei yiver lo titen michshol. Now, this statement made by the Braita has no qualification to it. It doesn't say minhag or no minhag. It just says asur. If it's asur across the board, and we suspect, or there's suspicion of bestiality with the Behemah Daka, why should it be subject to minhag? It should be lifnei yiver lo titen michshol, and should never be permitted not to sell, and not to put it up in their motel overnight. So Amar Rav. Rav introduces the first solution to reconcile between the Mishnah and the Braita, and that is, makom shi tiru limkor, him tiru liyachid. The Rav suggests that the two are connected, the two are correlated. The reason you can't put it up in the hotel or motel overnight is because we're worried about bestiality. In those places where we're worried about bestiality, that yichud with the behema, we're also, that's the makom sheminhag. The minhag would be not to sell it to them. And in places where we don't worry about bestiality, when it's yichud or when it's put up in the motel, those are the places that makom heter. I mean, that's chabaha talya. That the problem is revia, the problem is the suspicion of bestiality. And if we have a suspicion of bestiality, you will not be able to park your animal there and have them be miyachid with the animal, plus you will not be able to sell it to them. In places where we don't worry about bestiality, then you will be able to park and you will be able to sell the animal to them. So Rav says they are correlated, but they're addressing different issues. Armish is addressing an issue of when we do or don't know, whereas the Bright is a case where we know for sure there's a problem, we're choshesh, and therefore it's a sur in that instance. Now Rabbi Elazar introduces another solution to this problem, and it says, Ap makom shasru liyachid mutar limkor. Even where there's a problem in places where we worry about leaving your animal or parking your animal overnight with them, where there'll be biyuchu with the animal, there it's restricted. But even that place where it's restricted, you can still sell the animal to him, my taima, because it's a big difference. Uvei kachavim chasal bem tosh lo tiaker. The Obed Kochavim worries. When he performs bestiality, at least according to Rashi, the explanation here, the bestiality causes the animal to be a saris, that it no longer can reproduce or be reproductive. It might also, in some way, cause it not to be efficacious in its work, and it causes a loss of money in the animal. So therefore, the Obed Kochavim is discerning. When he performs bestiality, it's only when it's not going to cause him any significant monetary loss. So he will perform bestiality with other people's animals, but he will not do it with his own animal. So therefore, that'll be the difference. The difference will be, in our Mishnah, we're talking about selling the animal to them. That will become their animal. Once it's their animal, they won't perform bestiality to lose the money. So therefore, it's subject to minhag. There's no isur, it's just subject to minhag. On the other hand, when we're speaking over here about a case of lan bepundiko, the animal's still the Israel's animal. It's the Jew's animal. So when he leaves it overnight there, the Obed Chachamim has no qualms or no reservations about having bestiality with that animal, and therefore it's an Isur to leave it there, because it's also because of the fact that he will perform bestiality. We are choshish for that, and he doesn't worry about the monetary loss. It's not his animal. It's someone else's animal, and therefore he will not worry about it. So now we can't leave it there because of lifnei iver lo titen michshol. And then, va'af Rav Hadarbe. Rav also reversed his position to be like Rav Elazar and say it's not Havatalia, but rather there's a difference about the issue. By the Yichud, it's a problem that it's not owned by the Ovid Kochavim, therefore we're Choshesh, or we worry about Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol. Because we sell it and he owns it, we're not going to worry about it, because there he's Chasam Mamono, he's worried about the monetary loss that could be caused over here, and therefore he will not go ahead and perform bestiality, because it says, Damar Rav Tchlifa, Amar Rav Shila, Bar Rav Yimi, Mishmei the Rav, that this logic of Rav Elazar was stated by Rav also. Ovi Kochavim, Chasal Behem Tol, Shloti Aker, that he is worried about the monetary loss that will be caused to his animal if bestiality is performed on it, and therefore if he performs bestiality and this animal no longer, or then becomes Akura, right, and is unable to reproduce anymore, then he will not do that because that will cause him a significant monetary loss. Now the Gemara jumps. So now we discuss Behema Daka. Now the Gemara wants to understand what's the restriction of Behema Gasa, the large work animals in our Mishnah. Why are they restricted? So the Gemara says, Behema Gasa. You can't sell Behema Gasa anywhere. My time. Why not? Okay, we don't worry about Revi anymore, because that's what we just learned from Rav and Rebbe Lazar, that when it comes to their own animal, if you sell it to them, it's their animal now, they're not going to perform bestiality with this animal and lose. Here it's even a kosher cane. Here they're going to lose significantly more money. It's a behemoth gasa that's worth a lot more money and can perform work, and therefore they won't perform, they won't have bestiality with this animal because it will cause them a loss of money. So why should it be restricted? All right. Ma'abid behemalocha. So what are we worried about? So we're not worried about Revia. So he'll do malacha chayshinan. So we're worried about the fact that he's going to do work with the animal. So Gemara says, v'navid. Kevin de zavna. Right, Kanyo? What do you mean? We're worried that he's going to do work with the animal? That's the whole purpose of this animal. You sold it to him. It's his animal. Now let him do work with this animal. But what was the problem here? We already hinted at what the Gemara is after. Here it's a problem with Shabbos. The problem is on Shabbos that you are mitzuveh al shvitat behema. You are commanded to make sure that your behema rests on Shabbos, just like you do. Your behema may not perform work on Shabbos. So Gemara says, well, if you sell him the behema, he'll do work with the behema, and the behema will be doing work on Shabbos. Gemara says, what's the problem? He's a ben noach, right? He is a ovid kochavim. He's not nitztava al shvitat behema. He's not commanded to ensure that his animal rests on Shabbos, and therefore if it's his animal, he can do work with it on Shabbos. Why should we worry about it? Why should he worry about it at all? Now Rashi does something interesting over here. Rashi says, oh wait, don't we have a locha of Amir la'akum is asur, that you can't tell an akum to do melocha on Shabbos, which makes it sound like there's some sort of restriction from the akum doing melocha on Shabbos. So Rashi makes it clear here that the restriction there is a restriction of a dabir davar. The problem is, actually, it turns out you have to break between a tzivui to an ovi chachamim on Erev Shabbos versus on Shabbos itself. Because if you do it on Shabbos itself, and you command or ask a goy to do melacha for you on Shabbos, that's a problem of davar davar, that you are speaking about things that are not relevant or not shayach to the Shabbos or not appropriate to the Ruach HaShabbos. So that's the problem over there, telling a goy to do melacha for you. It's not because he's inherently commanded not to do melacha on Shabbos, it's because you are commanded not to talk about these items on Shabbos. If you tell him before Shabbos, now you don't have a problem of a davar davar, because you're not instructing him on Shabbos itself. So there it might be a problem before Shabbos. It could be a problem of shlichut, that he's doing it on your behalf. He's acting on your behalf, and therefore it's a problem. Or, also, if he does it on your behalf, then you'll come to do it yourself if you can ask a goy to do it. But Rashi makes clear that those are isurei derabanan. There's no tzivui of shvita on the benach. So if that's the case, you sold it to him. It's his animal. He wants to work it. That's his choice. The Gemara says, no, gezeira mishum shela u mishum schirut. Our problem is not selling. Our problem is that you will possibly lend it or rent it to them. So we say no selling of the animals, because if you interact in these ways, you will also end up lending or renting the animal to the goy. Now, you have a problem. Because when you lend or rent the animal to the goy or the Ovid Kochavim, it's still your animal. And when he does work with it on Shabbos, you're now in violation of Shvitat Behema on Shabbos. So that's the problem over here. The Gemara says, wait a minute. Is that, how could you say it's a problem of Shela and Schirut? Shela kanyo, right? Ve'agra kanyo. First of all, Shela, when you lend it to him, he's kone the animal. How do we know he's kone the animal? Because he's chayven onsin. He's chayven everything. He becomes responsible for anything that happens to the animal, except for meita machmat melacha, because he didn't borrow it to sit around. He borrowed it to use it for the work that it's intended for. But otherwise, he's chayav for anything. That makes him a certain type of balim over this animal. He becomes like an owner of this animal. If he's the only animal, then you're not in violation of shvitat beima. In addition, right, the case by a schirut, he's paying you money. The dmei schirut should give him a kinyan over the animal. If he has a kinyan over the animal, then it's his animal, and you shouldn't be in violation of shvitat behema on Shabbos. That's what the Gemara says. Shela kanya, bagra kanya. So I'm Rami Breid Rav Yeva, gzer mishum nisyune. He introduces the problem as being a test drive problem. What's the problem? The zimnin dezavno la nialei samoch lishkia. He's going to sell it to him near Shkia Tachama, right on Erev Shabbos, on Friday, close to Shabbos, he'll sell it to him, Demale Shabtov, Amale, Tanasio Niale. He wants the guy who's buying from him, says, hey, show me how he carries the load. Show me how he does it. Veshamale the Kale, what he's going to do is going to load the animal up, and then he's going to tell the animal to go. And that'll be, he'll hear the voice of the Balabait saying, go. And it'll walk. And because of him, it will go for it. Of course, he wants it to go because that's he wants to show that it will test drive. That'll be a person driving a behemoth on Shabbos. Person who drives his animal with a load on it. As Rashi points out, mechamer is only a case where the animal is actually carrying something on it. So therefore, you'll be in violation of shvitat behemah over here. You'll be in violation of shvitat behemah because you are driving the animal. Now, in the end, the goy is going to own it. He's buying it from you. But it's so close to Shabbos that he sold it that when you do the test drive, it's already Shabbos. And when you say go, and the animal goes, and then the goy takes off with it afterwards, that's your doing, that you were mechamer achar behem tel b'Shabbos. Now, Tosfos also asks a question, which actually becomes more problematic later on also, is what do you have to get to mechamer b'Shabbos? Why does it have to be the Baal HaBayit who says something to him that causes the behemah to go? Meaning that if the behemah goes, even without the Baal HaBayit, there's still a problem over here, because you have shvitat behemah. While he's doing the test drive, it's still your animal. As long as it's your animal may not carry masu, it may not carry anything on Shabbos. It's a violation of shvitat behema on Shabbos. So Tosfos wants to differentiate between those two things. And then he says that when it comes to shvitat behema on Shabbos, we're not going to worry about it in this instance, because what is he going to do? He's going to tell it to go, and then his behema does avoda, and then within 3 minutes, 4 minutes, it's going to belong to the goy. True, it's not allowed. It's impermissible. But nevertheless, we're not going to make a whole zero around this item, because it's only for a momentary isur. On the other hand, if the balim are the ones who do it, or mechamer achar behem tel on Shabbos, then it's a violation of Shabbos by the balim. Over there, we want to be more careful, because then the balim might come to do this more often, or not think there's an isur on Shabbos, and mechamer, there we want to make a gzeirah that they can't come to be mechamer achar behem tel b'Shabbos. So Tosfos even says, even though there's a violation of shvitat behema without the mechamer, they needed the chamer to make it chamir tfei, to make it chamer enough that we're going to worry about it and make such a gzeirah. So now the Gemara says, or challenges this idea, which is, how do you know that schirut is really kanyo? Why is that? Matkiflo Rav Shesha Breid Ravidi, who schirut mi kanyo? Is schirut really give you full ownership? Our suggestion, or our belief over here, is that if you rent the animal, you become the owner of the animal. So is that really true? Vatnan, we have a Mishnah, which is coming up further on in the Masechta, which is, Apmakom Shamru Laskir. Now the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about, you're not allowed to rent out a house in Eretz Yisrael, period, to a Oved Kochavim. In Chutz Laaretz, it depends. If he will use it for Avodah Zarah, no. And if he's not going to use it for Avodah Zarah, it's good. So this is the differentiation. Apmakom Shamru Laskir, in places where you say you're allowed to rent it out in Chutz Laaretz, Lo de Beit Dira Amru. You're not allowed to use it for, he can't use it as a dwelling. He can't use it for a residence. Mipnei Shemachnis L'Tokol Avodat Kochavim. Because he's going to bring in Avodah Zarah into the house. And what's the problem now? When he brings in Avodah Zarah into house, whose house is it? It's your house. You're only renting it to him. It's still your house. And now you have Avodah Zarah in your house. So that's the problem. You're allowed to lend it now to him to be a storehouse or to use for other, for commercial uses, but not for residential uses, because he's going to bring Avodah Zarah into there, and it's going to be your problem. If you really believe that schirut is koneh for the person who is renting, then he's bringing it to his own house. The guy is renting the house. It's now his house, and he brings Avodah Zarah into his own house. Why do we worry about get the Jew in this at all. Must be that the Jew really still owns it. And that means Schirut is not Kanya. Schirut does not give the renter the real kinyan over the place. The owner is still the real owner of the item, and therefore the Avodah Zarah going in there is a problem. The Gemara says, no, that we can answer up. Shiny Avodah Kachavim Techamire. Avodah Kachavim is in a unique status. Avodah Kachavim is very chamur, and therefore even though technically it belongs to the Ovid Kachavim here when he rents it from you, nevertheless, we want to keep you far away from Avodah Zarah Dichtiv, but it says, Lo Tavi Toivayel Beitecha. Shouldn't bring any Avodah Zarah into your house, meaning any type of your house. Beitecha, whether it's your Beitecha, your house itself when you own it, or even when it's your Beitecha that you're renting to someone else. So we have a more chamur type of Isur here that is so overarching or encompassing and so chamur that we don't want it, even when he owns the house and it's yours, but he's renting it from you, we don't want you to allow him to bring it into there. Now the Gemara challenges it again. Maktiv Klar Vitzvah Breda Rav Mishar Shev Schirat Mikanya Deschirat Na Koneh Vahat Nan Rav Mishnah Yisrael Shesachar Parah Mikoen. A Jew, a regular Israel who rents a cow from a Kohen, Yachileno Kashine Truma, he can feed it Truma. Now, Kohen, Shesachar Parah Mikoen, on the other hand, a Kohen that rents a cow from Israel, even though the Kohen is responsible to feed the animal, Lo Yachileno Kashine Truma, he cannot feed it Truma. So what do you see here? If you see that Schirut is Koneh, why can't he feed it? Why can't he feed it Truma? It's paradidei. It's his par. It belongs to him. So what do you see here? You see that the Kohen, when he has a par, he's renting a par from someone else, it remains in the ownership of the Israel. If the ownership of Israel, he can't feed it Truma. The Kohen can't feed it Truma. Even though he's responsible to feed the animal because the Kohen needs Kinyan Kaspo. In order for him to eat Truma, it has to be the ownership of the Kohen. And you see here that renting doesn't give him enough ownership in order to feed him with Truma. Now, in the first case of the Braita, it happens to be subject to Machlokas Rashi and the Tosafot here, what the case is. Rashi suggests over here, in the first case, it says that the Israel, who is renting the cow from the Kohen, he can feed it Karshinei Truma. So let's do Tosafot first, because it's easier. Tosafot says the first case in the Braita, or in this Mishnah really, is a case where the Israel himself is not obligated to give the Mizonot. The Mizonot are the obligation of the Kohen. So therefore, the Israel can give him Truma instead of the Kohen. The Kohen's responsible to give him. If the Kohen was there, he would give him Truma. So he doesn't worry that the Israel is giving him Truma. And that is why it's permissible over here for the Israel to give it Truma. And from that, Tosafot says, that's why only in the second half of the Mishnah does it say, Mizonot Torah V'lav, that the Kohen has Mizonot on him, and that's the Chiddush. Even when he has Mizonot, he can't feed it Truma. But the first case is not a case where the Jew has the obligation to give Mizonot to the animal. Secondly, you can conclude from that. That's why the Gemara only asked the question from the second half of the Mishnah, not the first half of the Mishnah. Because in the first half of the Mishnah, the Mizonot are still with the Kohen. In the second half of the Mishnah, when the Kohen has responsibility for Mizonot on the Israel's Behema, if he was really Kohen, he should be able to feed a Truma. The fact that he can't feed a Truma shows you that Schirut is not Kanya. That's Tosos's explanation. Rashi gives another very interesting explanation. He says, no, there's even a case where the Mizonot are the obligation of the Israel, and he can still feed a Truma. Why can he feed it Truma? So Rashi takes us through two stages. The first stage is that he's allowed to give Truma, and it's not classified as gezel or stealing. Why isn't it stealing? Because when it comes to Truma, and this is true of other items like Maiser Rishon and Maiser Ani, we say that there is a class of people who are entitled to eat these items. The Balim, the owners of the produce, have to give it over to that class of people, to one of them. I mean, if you have Truma, you have to give it to a Kohen. No specific Kohen can demand the Truma from you because he's not a claimant to the Truma. The class as a whole, all Kohenim as a whole have a claim against that Truma. But you can never bring a class action to claim the Truma away from the Israel. But the Israel himself is obligated to distribute it to Kohen. So Rashi calls it Mamon Shein La Tovim. It's money that has no claimant. And he says when there's a money that has no claimant, there's no Chiyuv Gezel. There's no problem of Gezel over here. So even though we've seen this in other places, for instance in Baba Kamo, when it comes to person's gozel mi chamisha anashim, they steals from five people, and they all come and make a claim against him, he can just say, look, I have the money here, I'm giving it to Beit Din, you guys work it out, I only stole from one of you. There we say, Rabbi Kiva says about him, that's not the way that, let's say, Yidei Shamayim. Yeah, true, it's not Gezel, but you can't be Yotzei Yidei Shamayim this way. If you want to solve the problem, you got to pay all five of them. Otherwise, you're not going to Yotzei Yidei Shamayim, even though he's given up the stolen items, but he hasn't returned them, he hasn't done Hashava over there. So over here too, fine, it's not Gezel because there's no claimant. So there's no direct claimant to come get the money. Nevertheless, when he's withholding money from a class of people, maybe it should be at least Gezel, maybe let's say Yidei Shamayim. But Rashi says, okay, it's not Gezel. Okay, so now we got to the point where it's not Gezel. But nevertheless, how can he feed this Kohen's Behema Karshinei Truma now? Because in the end, he has to give the Truma to a Kohen, at least some Kohen. Now when he feeds it to this Kohen's Behema, and the mizonot, the obligation of mizonot are on Israel. The Israel, how can he discharge his obligation with the Kohen's truma? How would the Kohen will say, I don't want you to use my truma or truma in general to feed my animal. How could it be that the Israel is going to discharge his obligation with the truma of the Kohen? So Rashi says in this second stage that, okay, the Kohen has a choice here. The Israel is obligated to feed him. Now, if he feeds him with his own food, he's going to feed him betzimtzum. He's going to feed him just exactly what he needs to get it done. Then, if he can use karshnei truma, when he can discharge the obligation using the truma of this Kohen, then he will feed him in a more generous manner. And therefore, it's nechalei the Kohen. It's nechalei to the Kohen, even though the obligation's on the Israel, for him to use the truma to discharge the obligation. Now, both of these items are chidushim and Rashi. The first, that there's no problem of gezel when there's mamon chein lo tovim. If generally we say mamon chein lo tovim is a motzei mechaver olav raya, you have to bring a raya that the other person, that you're obligated to take the money out. But that doesn't mean the withholding of the money is not a problem, unless we just don't know, or we can't pay it out, or we don't know that there's a reason to pay it out. Over here, there is. He knows for sure that it's truma. And number two, the chiddush is that it's nechalei the Kohen, that we say that in Yisrael can be discharging his obligation of truma here, feeding the animal with truma over here, even though it really belongs to the Kohen, and we saw it's nechalei the Kohen. So those are two big chiddush in Rashi to explain the case of here. Obviously, Tosus took the other approach and says that first case, the mizonot are on the Kohen and not on Yisrael to solve that problem. Nevertheless, what you do see from here is that schirut is lo kanya. Schirut does not create ownership. If schirut doesn't create ownership, then we can say, or the problem still exists. I mean that the problem of selling the item to the Ovid Kochavim could be a problem because you might rent it to him or you might lend it to him, and over there there's no kinyan. Now the Gemara concludes, Elishmamina, Schirut lo kanya, that Schirut is not kone, and therefore the original owners are still responsible for the item. And that'll be true by the Avodah Zarah, why you can't rent the house out and he brings in Avodah Zarah. It's why you can't, when the Kohen rents the Behema, he can't feed a Truma because it's not his. And also in our case over here, you can't sell the animal because he might come to be Socher the animal. If you Socher the animal, he does work on Shabbos, you're in violation of Shvitat Behema on Shabbos. And over here, the Shvita Behema will be a continuous problem. It's not just for the couple minutes from the Sune, it's a full-fledged Baya problem, not just Mechamer, but a problem of Shvitat Behema. Now the Gemara concludes, V'hashta da'amart Schirut lo kanya. Now that you say Schirut lo kanya, now I can explain to you what the problem in our mission of selling a Behema Gas is. One is Gzeira Mishum Schirut, which makes sense, because Schirut lo kanya. Gzeira Mishum Sheila. Now here the Gemara does not address this. The Gemara seems to say that they are hochi hochi, that if you are say that Schirut is not koneh, then Sheila is not koneh. Now the two don't have to be correlated. They are for different reasons. By the Schirut, he's paying you rent, and therefore you say that he had ownership. By the case of Sheila, the reason that we say that he owns it is because he's chayv and onsin. So the reasons might be separate. And therefore, even though you, by Schirut, you may not give up ownership to the renter, when you lend it to the person who's borrowing it, maybe you do give up ownership. But the Gemara says no. When it includes, once we know that Schirut is no kanya, then Sheila also must not be kanya. And therefore the Gemara says, you cannot sell a Behema Gasa because maybe you will rent it out, maybe you'll lend it out. In both those instances, we're worried about the Shvitat Behema, it's your animal, and if he uses it on Shabbos, your animal is not resting on Shabbos. And also, Gezerah Mishum Nisyunei. And also the problem that was brought up afterwards, which is the problem of Rami Brei, the Rav Yeva, that you might do these test drives, and we'll have a problem on Mechamer on Shabbos. So those, all of these three items, because of these three items, we don't allow you to sell a Behema, because you might come to lend, rent, or do these test drives, it will be a violation of Shabbos. Now, V'ado came along, and Shara Lizvunei Chamra Ayado de Safsira. He says that you're allowed to sell an animal through a middleman. Now the middleman here is not a middleman who takes ownership of it, but rather he's like a broker. You give it over to the broker to sell on your behalf. So that you're allowed to do, and here we're talking about even a broker, Yisrael, that's a broker. So this, you can give it over to the Yisrael to sell it to a Ovid Kochavim. Because what are all the problems here? Let's think about the problems. The problems, or the reasons we don't allow you to sell the animal in these instances, because you might come to lend it, rent it out, or you might come to do the test drive, where you'll be mechamer, where you'll scream at the animal and it'll go. So now over here, if we use a middleman, use a broker to sell the animal, all of these fall away. And that's what the Gemara says. If you're going about the test drive, he doesn't know the voice of the broker. So therefore, the broker can't be mechamer on Shabbos. And again, we said before, even though if the animal is simply carrying a masoi, it's violating Shvita Shabbos, nevertheless, we don't worry about that type of violation Shabbos. We're worried about a real violation of Shabbos by the person himself, where he is mechamer achar behem tov b'Shabbos, not where it's a small fraction of time where it's behema, then it'll become the goy's behema. Again, if it's shvita behema for the whole Shabbos, then we worry about it. For this 3 minutes of Nisunei, we don't worry about it. So here by the broker, there's nothing to worry about. He can't be mechamer after the animal doesn't know his voice. So therefore, there's no mechamer for this broker. Ah, but imishum shel of schirut. What about shel and schirut? Maybe he'll lend it out or rent it out. Came into labdi dei lo moishu v'lo mogil. He doesn't lend it out or rent it. It's not his to rent out. It's not his to lend out. It's his to sell. That's the only thing the broker is allowed to do with it. The owner didn't ask him to rent it out or sell it. I mean, to lend it out. He asked him to sell it, and that's all the rights he has. Owed, or the other possibility is mishum to no nigle bei muma. He won't lend it out or rent it out because it might get damaged. If it gets damaged, then the value of the animal will deteriorate, and the broker will be responsible for that. Either he'll get less of a commission because the price will go down, or he'll be responsible because when he gives the animal, it's given to the broker, he becomes responsible for the animal until he returns either the monies or the animal to the original owner. So for that reason, all of these gzeirot go away. I mean, none of them are applicable when you sell through a middleman. Now, the Tosfos asks the basic question. He says, well, in the Mishnah, we are also shvura, a broken animal, because of shlemim. Because what will happen? You'll see the shvura in the goy's house, and when you see the shvura in the goy's house, what are you going to say? Ah, well, it was sold by a Jew when it was shlema, and now it's a shvura, so maybe I can sell my shlema. So why don't you say the same thing here? When it's sold by the middleman, when it's sold by the broker, we'll just say, oh, the person will see it there and say, oh, so-and-so's behemoth's over there. Oh, he sold it to the guy, so I may be able to sell it. Why do we say by one of them we worried about a gzeira, and over here by the safsira, we're not worried about such a gzeira? So Tosa says, v'yish lamar, the safsira kala itle, that a broker has a colt. Everybody knows that it was sold through a broker. When you sell through the broker, people know about it. If they know about it, then they're not going to come to that conclusion. That's one answer. And the other answer is Rav Shmaya, which comes as a gzeira l'gzeira. Now you're interested in what is a gzeira to a gzeira. Because what are you going to say? Through a safsira, technically it should be allowed. So now you're going to have a gzeira l'gzeira, which is what? Don't sell it through a safsira because somebody might think that you sold it directly. And if you sold it directly, what's the problem? There is no problem you selling directly. Only if you sell directly, we're worried that maybe you'll lend it and rent it. So now you have a gzeira le gzeira. As opposed to a shvura, when it comes to a shvura over there, that is not a separate gzeira. That's part of the whole gzeira. We just don't let you sell animals, period, to the Oved Kochavim. Whether it's a shvura or whether it's a shlema, we don't let you sell it. It's across the board. Over here, this would add an additional aspect or additional level to the Isur, which would make it a gzeira the gzeira, and therefore we do not oser in this case selling it through a middleman. So now the Gemara says, Ravona zavina yipara al ovid kochavim. Ravona sold a para to an ovid kochavim. So now this is exactly what our mission says is asur. You're selling a behema gasa to a ovid kochavim, and here it is, Ravona does this. Some of the Rav Chista jumps on him right away and says, how could you do such a thing? How are you selling a para to Ovid Kochavim? Amalei, Rav Chista, my time all but Marachi. How could you do this against the Mishnah? Amalei, Imar L'shchita Zababna. He says, I have no idea. He says, listen, I sold the animal to him. I don't know what he's going to do with it. He could shecht it, or he could, right, use it for work. So fact is, if there's a tli al heter, if there's a reason I could believe that I'm selling to him and he's not going to do work with it, then the gzera shouldn't apply in that case, because I can just say he bought it in order to shecht it. Ah, what about the Mishnah? The Mishnah makes no such differentiation. So here Rashi says, or differentiates between the cases. Rashi says, our Mishnah is talking about either a behema tmeya, right, a behema tmeya, or a behema Torah, where the Ovi Kochavim specifically said, I'm buying it for its work, not for shechita. Then it's asur. There's no question. Behema tmeya, which is it's amazing over here that we're talking about Ovi Kochavim, and yet we're saying that there's a distinction between behema and Torah. We're not talking about Yisrael, where it's a kosher animal, not kosher animal. Even for a Ovi Kochavim, when you sell a behema tmeya, the underlying assumption is that behema will not be used for eating. I mean, that they are more valuable for their work or their output than they are for their uses as meat. And therefore, the underlying assumption is that you will not check it for meat when it comes to behemah tmeya. And then behemah Torah, again, that which is an animal that could be used for eating over there, only when he specifically states otherwise do we say that he can't sell it because we don't have that tzad lehet there. But that's the differentiation that Rashi makes. Tosfos brings down that the Rashbam, in the name of Rashi, made a different distinction over here. He made a distinction between shvarim, which are oxen that rubam lemalacha, that are normally used for work, and that's the behemah gasa that the Mishnah is talking about. Work animals, those are impermissible. Whereas the case over here is a para. A para is something that is used for food. That's not a work animal, rather a food or shechita used for its meat. And therefore the distinction is between shor and para. The problem with, and again in the Mishnah also, the agalim and the sayachim, the calves and the colts, the problem over there is, even though they're not right now work animals, they will grow up to be work animals. That's what the Rashbam says in the Shem of Rashi. The Rabbeinu Tam jumps and says, I don't understand. That why would you make such a distinction? We're going to turn the page in a second. On the second half of the Amud, it says, Parah Choreshet, that a para is used for work. In many places in Shas, that the para is used for work, and even more so than a shore. It's the exact opposite of what the Rashbam is saying over here, that a para is actually more likely to be used for work than a shore. So he disagrees, and the Rabbeinu Tam holds like Rashi, and he says the distinction over here is like what Rashi says. That's the difference between Behema Tmeya and Behema Torah. Behema Tmeya, that's what our Mishnah is talking about, or a Behema Torah, where he specifies that he's going to use it for work. Whereas our case over here, by Para, is where there was no, it's a Behema Torah, and there was no specification, and therefore there's a room, or a room to be Toleh, Letzad Heter. So that's the difference over here between a parot and shvarim, has to do with that distinction that Rashi told us about. Like the now, what about the agalim and the sayachim? That's what we mentioned on the Mishnah. The younger, the calves and the colts, which are clearly not going to be used for their work, over there, that's what the Rabbeinu Tam says, and I mentioned this on the Mishnah, that there's a chiddush. By the agalim, by the calves, even though they are not rotui for work, and it's unlikely that they're going to be used for their meat, because nobody would buy the animal and then have to feed it and bring it up and then use it for meat. That's too much work. Nevertheless, we still say, so that's why we say over there that they are asurim. That's the chiddush in that case. And the chiddush by the sayachim is that afagav the hashalo chazul malacha asulam achram. Even though right now they're not ro'oi, later on they will be ro'oi. So Rabbeinu Tam says those are the chidushim. By the egel is because even though you could say shchita, we don't say it over here because it's unlikely. And the case of sayach is that we say it when it'll grow up, like the way the Rashbam explained. So that's what Tosos, or that's the way we explain the difference between our Mishnah and the case of Rav Huna. The end of the Tosos is extremely interesting. It's a problem that's going to recur here for Tosos throughout the Masechta. We saw this in the first Amud and Bed Amud Aleph. And you can see it here. I'm going to see it come up over and over again in the Masechta. Is what about today? We seem to be doing things that are very different. And that's what Tosfos says. He says, V'hashta chazina l'kuli amma, ben l'Rashbam, ben l'Rabbeinu Tam. Whether you hold like the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam, that it's a surlam l'mkor of dekhachavim, agalim v'sayachim. Young calves and colts, for sure you cannot sell. V'chol behem atmeya. V'alkor chavyesh l'tmoa, me'ha yusomchim, l'mkor agalim v'sayachim l'ov dekhachavim. We sell all the time. People all around us are selling calves and colts to the Ovdei Ovdei Zerah. V'gam misusim namei yesh litmah. We sell horses as well. T'bishlam ha'otam shem yuchudim l'rechivah. Fine if they're riding horses. But we're selling horses that are used for pulling the wagons. They're clearly not going for riding. They're being used to pull wagons. And yet we're selling it to the Ovdei Kochavim. Thus it says it's against our Gemara. Our Gemara is clear and explicit about this, that these are all restricted. How is it that we are doing that today? He says all around us, we see these Jews that are transacting in this way. How could it be? So he gives a number of answers. The first answer is, we see it through here in the conclusion of the Gemara that you're allowed to sell through a middleman, through this broker. That means what the whole problem is. Why can't you? Because he doesn't know the voice. So he says today, our animals today don't respond to our voices. They don't run or they don't do anything for us based on our voice. And therefore, you don't have the problem of mechamer acharav b'shabbos. So he says, okay, that works for animals that you don't normally rent out or lend out. So therefore, there's no problem with schirut and sheila, and the problem with chamer is gone. But he says, we have animals where we also worry about the problem of schirut. We lend them out and we rent them out, and we're still selling those animals. So Tosa says, that helps us for some of these issues, but what about animals that we do lend out or rent out? So he says, that vadaya dasulim korbeimet imama, hainu dafka biyamehem. That was only in their days. Many Jews, there were multitudes of Jews living together, and therefore if there's a problem with his behemat meya, right, or he wanted to sell it, he had to get rid of it, and he didn't need it anymore, he could sell it to a Jew, and it wouldn't be a problem. And then he wouldn't lose any money. But today, where we're dispersed amongst the goyim, if we don't sell it to the goyim, you'll create huge monetary losses over here. Because anytime there's a behemat meya, you can't sell it to a goy, no Jew wants the animal, then we're out of luck, the guy's going to lose a ton of money. And so because of that, it's E.F. Shar. And he says, therefore, the Gonim, we're matir this Dovar, because it's impossible. And he says, like we're going to see later on, it's actually in tomorrow's daf, we're going to see this idea that E.F. Shar, when it's impossible, then we are matir. When it's impossible, because of Eva, because of whatever reasons, Mamon Efsed, we don't permit. So here we're going to permit it, all of a sudden. So then along comes the Rabbeinu Baruch and says, well, listen to me. If the heter revolves around the monetary loss, that means if the Jew bought the animal for intending for him to use it himself, then if it turns out he doesn't need it, or later on it becomes something that he doesn't need, then he could sell it. But if the Israel is buying it solely to sell it to Noah B'Chachamim, that would be restricted, because there's no Maman Mefs, there's no Hefse here. Don't buy it, and you won't have to sell it. So he says, to be a transactor in these behemot, you cannot do, because there's no monetary loss. Don't get in, you won't have to get out. In a case where you buy it for your own purposes, and then you have to get out, that's where the heter revolves, or that's where the heter is allows you to sell it. So that's what Tosos says. But you see this heter of Tosos, and this again will come up, seeing that we're living amongst the goyim, we're practicing something that's directly against the Gemara, and he will come up, and the answer is that efshar, that we have to do this, or we have to come up with some reason that we can do this, because it's impossible, it's not like what the times of the Gemara. And you see Tosos doing that over here, that even though the Gemara seems to be explicit about selling behemot to mehemot, and we're selling them even though you can be socher, even though it can be shoel, and again, he got rid of the problem of mechamer, but still, shoel, elah, and tzchira should be a problem. Nevertheless, we permit it because of this problem of hefsed, that if we don't allow it, we're going to run into big monetary losses for the Jews, and therefore the Gzeret Chachamim won't stand, or the Gonim or Matir in this situation. So now, the Gemara continues, Umanat Temra. He says, Rav Huna says, how do I prove to you the fact that when I have Tliya, when I have the ability to be Toled on something else, that we say it's Mutar? Because, Arminim, Ki Ay Gavno, we have a similar case by Shemitah, which is, Beit Shammai Umrim, Lo Yimkor Adam Para Choreshet B'Shvi'it. By the way, this is one of the proofs, Rabbeinu Tam says, look at that, Para HaChoreshet. So we know that a Para is used for plowing. So if you have a Para whose designation is for plowing on Shvi'it, we're talking about someone who is Chashud Al Shvi'it, someone we know violates the Shvi'it, and it's a problem with Fnei Ver. If you sell him a shore that's going to plow on Shvi'it, he's going to go do work on Shvi'it. So you may not sell it to him on Shvi'it. Beit Hillel Matirim, he says you can. Why? Because how do you know what he's going to use it for? He has two options. He can either use it for plowing, or he can use it for meat. So you don't know which one he's going to, unless he explicitly states. Otherwise, we don't know. So you could just say, I sold it for Shechita. That's why Beit Hillel is Matir. So to over here, I say, when I'm selling it to Obi Chachamim, I don't know if he's going to use it for Malach or Sheftet. I assume he's going to Sheft it. And therefore, it's okay. So I'm a rabbi. Rabbi says, me domi. How can you compare the cases? So now, the way to read this Gemara is actually subject to major machloket rishonim, and has major nafkaminot, I'll send you the makarot, we did this in Sanhedrin as well, is that, what is Shemitah? The Isser of Shvi'it. Is the Isser of Shvi'it only on the owner, meaning that the person, the Gavra, may not work the land on Shemitah? Or is there a restriction from working land in Eretz Yisrael on Shemitah? I mean, you must, if you own the land, or someone else is coming in to work on your land, you must prevent them from working land, because there's a requirement of Shvi'itah Dakarka. So that's what Rashi seems to say here. There's an assay that the land must lay fallow. And this is what Rabbi says, Midomi. How can you compare the cases? Over there, there's no restriction against the Beima. This is what Rashi says. What does it mean? Therefore, there's no reason to be gozer, the gezera over there. Over there, a person doesn't have to prevent his animal from doing work on Shvi'it. If he gives his animal to a goy, and the animal does work on Shvi'it, there's no violation, there's no problem. So therefore, there's no reason to be gozer over here. Whereas by Shabbos, hocha adam mitzuvah shvitat b'emto b'Shabbos, when it comes to Shabbos, right, a person is clearly mitzuvah al shvitat b'emto, and therefore we're going to have a gezerah in that case. So that's the differentiation. Rabbi says, I can't see the logic. How do you extend from Shvi'it to Shabbos? That's the way Rashi reads it. On the other hand, Tosfos says, no, it's not about the gezerah here, but rather it's about the ikar isur. So that's what he says. Tosfos says, no, what's Rabbi's distinction here? So it says the isur is not on the beima, but on the karka itself. The isur in shvi'it is the karka. If he lends it out to a non-Jew, there's no problem, and ain't kan ganai. And therefore, you could sell it. A Jew could sell this, even to a Ishtatim Kol Yisrael Chashud Mitam Tliyah. So therefore, the Tliyah should work over here. Since there's no Tzivu on the Beima, and if your Beima goes out and does work, there's no problem. Therefore, you can say Taluy and Shchita. Then when it comes to Beima on Shabbos, if your Beima goes does work for someone else, that's a problem in Shchita at Beima on Shabbos. Therefore, we shouldn't be Somech on the Tliyah of Shchita. We shouldn't be tomech on that tliyah. Rashi says we shouldn't make the gzera, we shouldn't make the gzera. Tosfos says, no, whether we should be tole in that shchita or not tole in shchita makes a difference. Whether there's a problem in the ikar gufa beima doing the isur. In Shvi'is, there's no isur on the beima. Whereas on Shabbat, there is an isur in the gufa beima. Where it says, Abaye, v'cho eichad adam mitzuve asur. Is it really true that any time a person's commanded on shvita to karka or shvita, that therefore we are going to make it asur? Vari sadeh. What about a field? The dam mitzuveh shvita tzadeh b'shvi'it. So this is the underlying what we just read in Rashi before, that there's a command on Shemitah to leave your field fallow, meaning that there's not just a command that you don't work the field, you must ensure that the fields are fallow. And that's what Rashi brings down here. Shabbat Shabbaton Aretz, the Rambam also brings such a say that the land remain fallow during the year, not just that you don't work, it's not just an Easter on the Gavra, there's an Easter on the Karka itself that remain fallow. And therefore, the Marriott says over here, you have to ensure that your karka has not worked yet. But it's not. We have a Mishnah there in Shvit as well. Near Bishvit, a plowed field on Shvit, he may not sell. Bidel says you can. Could leave it empty for the following year. You don't have to plow it right away. So there's a chance he won't work it. He won't use it on Shvit, even though it's Choshel Shvit. There's two possibilities. Either he works it or he doesn't work it. Since there's that other possibility, we don't make you sell it. So you see, there's another deal. Here you're Mitzuvah to make sure that the land is Bishavut. And nevertheless, right, we say that it's mutar to sell it to him based on a tliyah. So that's where Tosfos, the Tosfos Reed takes major issue with this, and he says, since when or where do we ever find that there's such a restriction on the karka? He says, we have no such restriction on the karka. So how could you, what's the question here? How is the Gemara even comparing these two cases? He says, v'achim matzi, b'vuna, the melav, she'eruta, the shabbos, m'shuta, the shvit. Yeshua, the shvita karka, yizanu, b'shvita, k'deperish amoreh. And then he quotes the Rambam. He says, I don't understand all this, but then he quotes the Rambam and says, maybe there is an Ikar Shvita on the Karka that does this. But you see that the Rishonim are grappling with this Gemara, because if you believe it's only an Isser Gavra, only an Isser on a man to work the land, what is this Gemara doing over here? So then if you have to do that, the Tosfos Reed has a way of rereading the Gemara so that it fits in. That he's saying, basically, what's the comparison? Shmita and Shabbos has no connection. That's what he's saying. Shvita the karko, meaning that the obligation on the goof, you're comparing apples and oranges. That's what the answer to the Gemara is. Not that there's an obligation to let the karka be shavut, but rather you're working of the karka. There's no, the only restriction is you working the karka. So how are you, Rabbuna, comparing these two cases? That's what Rabbi's question is. On the other hand, if you learn like that we saw here in the Rashi, in the Rambam, and others, that Shemitah Lakarka means that you must leave the land fallow, then the cases are comparable, because there's an obligation to ensure that the land remains fallow, just like on Shabbos. It's an obligation to ensure your behema is shoveit on Shabbos itself. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, you see that it's shari. So now the Gemara asks the other way, okay? The Matki Flora Vashi, V'hoyechal de'en adam mitzuveh shari. In a place where a person's not mitzuveh on the Shemitah, that's mutar, there's no isur, v'hari kelim. What about kelim? They not damut zuvel shvitat kelim. A person does not have to ensure that his kelim rest on both on Shabbos but also on Shmita. There's no obligation to ensure that the kelim rest. So there is reshlai l'machram shvit, right? And so if that's the case, then you should be able to sell them on shvit. Yet we have a mishnah, but it's not elohim kelim she'ein adam reshlai l'machram shvit. These are items that you're not allowed to sell on shvit. Hamach resha, the plow, kol kela, anything extended from it. Ha'ol, the yoke, which is used to hook up the animal to the plow. Vamizre, Rashi calls this a winnowing fan. On the other hand, Tosos disagrees and says it's actually some item that is connected to the plow itself, some sort of item that gets pressed into the ground, or it's a chad mekleya machresha, and a deker. Rashi calls the deker a mara, which is a hoe or a spade. On the other hand, Tosos says, no, again, he thinks that it's one of the clay machresha, that it's also one of the items that's used in the machresha. So Tosos says these are both items that are used in the machresha. Rashi gives other things that are specifically used for working the land. So here you see what? There's no isser. You don't have to give shvitat kelim, and yet we still say you may not sell them to this person. Rashi says there's a distinction. Why over do we let you sell a field, but we don't let you sell you kelim? Both of them you're selling to a choshed bishvit. So Rashi says there's a big difference. When it comes to like selling a house or land, these are items that come up infrequently. So a person will be willing to buy karka and leave it fallow for a year in order to have it afterwards. I mean, because now you got a chance. It's a chance to buy. When it comes to real estate, you buy when you get the opportunity. You don't always get the opportunity. By kelim, when it comes to machrisha, to plows, that if you don't buy it now, nobody would buy in advance. You can buy it next year. Meaning that why would you buy your plow in advance when you can buy it next year? Now maybe you could argue, and Tosfos makes such an argument here a little bit, because he says, what even the question over here? What's the question over here from this at all? Because it's clear here that the kelim have no tliyah. There's no other option. I mean, the kelim here are solely for one reason, and that's to work on shvi'it. So now, if they're only used to work on shvi'it, what other option is there here? So that's why the problem of the Yisur over here is, maybe the tliyah is that someone would buy it in advance. Tosfos Rashi says they won't buy it in advance. Maybe, because it would be a discount. During shmi'it, everything's cheaper. Nobody's buying plows, so maybe you could get it on the cheap, and maybe somebody would buy it in advance. That's what you could suggest. So what do you see, Alamar Ravashi? What's the conclusion of this? Kohecha deika demitla talina. That the issue here is not about a question of Isur or not. Isur has to do with tliyah. If you have an option to say that there are possible heter, then it goes to heter. Whether you're mitzuvah in the shvita or not mitzuvah in the shvita, it's irrelevant. It's all about whether you have an option the heter. And the other way around, by kelim, where there's no option, no other option, we can't figure out what he's going to do except work the land with it. Lo talina, then we're not told that. Avagav dani mitzuvah. If you're not mitzuvah on it, we don't worry. We're worrying about lifnei yiver. And lifnei yiver is only in a case where you have no other option. If we have another option, we can say that he's doing it for another purpose or reason. Over there, we'll let it go. Rabbo Zavin Hau Chamro Yisrael. Rabbo went ahead and sold a chamor to a Jew who chashut him kol of the chavim, who was chashut to resell it to a non-Jew. So that's a problem of lifnei iver, because there's a restriction on this individual reselling the item to an obi kochavim, and Rav was selling it to him. So Amalei Abai, my time abon mahachi, why'd you do this? Amalei anali Yisrael zvinei, I sold it to a Jew, which is not restricted. Amalei v'ha'azil mezavin leid obi kochavim, he's going to go sell it now or resell it to a non-Jew. He says, wait a minute, lo obi kochavim ka mezavin, Yisrael lo ka mezavin? Wait a minute, why, I don't know for sure who he's going to sell it to. He could equally sell it to a Jew as a non-Jew. There's no, it's not absolute that he's going to do an Easter over here. It's a possibility, but we have a Taliyah Leheter. Now what's funny over here is that Rabba over here is the Bala Memra over here, and yet before, Rabba challenged Rav Huna's position. Rabba was the one who challenged this idea that you can have your use a Taliyah. So Tosafos asks, what is it doing? Why is Rabba over here? So two possibilities. One is that Rabba changed his mind. After he heard the position or the answer from Rav Huna, then he changed his mind. Or the other possibility is that the Girsa up above is not Amar Rabba, but you can see that Svarim Acherim had the Girsa be Amar Rava. And therefore down here, Rama Rabba is distinct from the Amar Rava above, and that's why he also held like Rav Huna. So over here, Rabba is actually selling this item because he says it's not guaranteed that he's going to do an Aveira, and therefore there shouldn't be a problem with Lifnei Iver over here. So Eitve, we challenge this. Malkom shenagulim korbeim adakadu kutim mochrim. Shalolim kor ein mochrim. So here we're dealing with a different group of individuals. So far we have Yisrael. Then we have a Ovid Kochavim, and somewhere between them is the Kutim. The Kutim are actually subject to a machloket in the Mishnayot. The time Mishnayot, they were people in the Sefer Melachim that converted in the Shomron. And the Gemara has a machloket there, and the Mishnah itself has a machloket in many places where they were Gere Arayot, means that they were fear of the lions eating them, that's why they converted and they were not true converts, or Geri Emet, they were really converts and they were true converts. Later on, the Chachamim found a Pesel up on the Shemon and Hagrizim, and they said for sure they are not good converts because they're worshipping Avodah Zarah. Nevertheless, the Kutim held of Torah Shebichtav, not Torah Shebal Peh in general. So they kept anything in Torah Shebichtav, they kept, and the Chachamim say sometimes even better than Israel themselves. They kept it better, but if it's Torah Shebal Peh, they didn't keep it. So for instance, the case of Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol. Because Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol, the Kutim only will take it literally, which is that they will not put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. But they have no problem causing someone else to do an Aveira. So for instance, if there's something that's restricted for a Jew to eat, you cannot rely on the Kuti to go ahead and tell him, okay, sell it to him and say it's fine. Because the Kuti doesn't have any problem selling Isur to another individual, causing someone else to do this Isur, because they don't have the Drashat Chachamim on Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol. On the other hand, if they eat it, you know you can eat it. If it's something that they are makbid on, then they're makbid agamre. So then, if you know that they ate it, you can buy it from them because you know that they would keep it in that manner. So these are the kutim. Over here, we're talking about a Mishnah. Mishnah says that when it comes to the kutim, it's subject to a minhag, which is, when it comes to selling a behema dako to a kuti, mochrin, shalolim ko, when the minhag is not to a mochrin, my time, what's the problem with the kuti? Ilem rishchai shidei arevia. What's the problem in our Mishnah, selling to chachamim, we're worried about bestiality. So what, that's the same problem with the kutim, or michashide. Are the kutim really chashud on bestiality? But Atani, we have a braita here. We have a braita that's going to lay out two sections. One section deals with obi chachamim, one section deals with the kuti. Everything that's restricted to obi chachamim is mutar to the kuti. And one of those issues is a revi'ah. We'll see this. Eim ha'medim behem ha'buntukot shalom chachamim. Can't park an animal overnight in the motel of the obi chachamim. Zacharim etzel zacharim. When it's a male with a male, unikevot etzel nekevot. And the females with the females. So over there, where you shouldn't have to be suspicious of bestiality, you have the male animals with the males, and you have the female animals with the females, you shouldn't have a problem. But nevertheless, we say there is a problem. Vein tzarach lamar. It's certainly in a case where you have nekevot etzel zacharim, where you put the female animal with the males, and then you put the male animals with the female, with the women. So over there, it's certainly a problem. What's the problem? So Rashi over here says that the ovi kochavim are choshud al arayot, not just bestiality, but on taking their friend's wife. So they're going to go over to their friend's place, and they're going to see his wife's not there. If his wife's not there, they'll take the behema instead. So even though when the nekevot are with the nekevot, we worry about it. Certainly when the nekevot are by the zacharim, we worry about it. So that's a complete restriction against parking the animals with the ovi kochavim. And now, also, ein mosrim behema l'ro'e shelem. We don't give over an animal to their shepherds. Bestiality, we worry about the fact of bestiality. You cannot be isolated, you cannot have ichud with them. You can't give them over a child to get academic instruction from them. To learn a craft from them. Because they're choshud al shvichut damim. They're choshud to kill. So therefore, you can't do all of these things. Aval, but that's not true by kuti. Even if you put male animals with the females, or you put the female animals with the males, or the women with the males. Either way, it doesn't matter. But certainly when it's with the males and the males, and the females with the females. So you can give over an animal to their shepherds, because they're makpid on bestiality. They don't perform bestiality. You can be isolated, you can be yichud with them, you can give over a child for academic instruction, or for a craft instruction, because they're not choshed al shvichut damim. Alma lo chashide. What do you see from this brayta? They're not choshed al arayot or choshed al bishtiyali. If that's the case, why does our Mishnah tell us that there's a minhag not to sell behemot dakot to a kuti? What would be the reason? V'o tanya. And we have another brayta. Emochin lehem lo zayin, v'lo klei zayin. You cannot sell to an ovid kochavim, you cannot sell zayin. Now that is the weapon itself, that means that's the sword itself, and the romach, the spear itself, or clay zayin, which is the hilt, or the handle of the spear and the sword, that you can't sell to them. Ve'in mashchiz lehem et zayin, you can't sharpen their weapons for them. Ve'in mochrim lehem lo stan, ve'lo korolarin, you can't sell them a stan. Rashi says that's a place to lock up the feet, and you can see in Rashi, Lashon Haskalah is a stock. It's a stock where you lock up the people in, that you can't sell them to them. Ve'lo korolarin, not the collar, something they put around the neck to lock the person up. Ve'lo kabalim, not cables where they would tie up. Ve'lo shalshalot, and chains, shal barzel. You can't sell any of these items to the Oved Kochavim, because we're worried about what they're going to do with these items. So, echad Oved Kochavim, ve'echad kuti. So over there, it doesn't matter. You can't sell it not to an Oved Kochavim, not to kuti. My time. What's the reason? What's the problem at the kuti that they were worried about them killing? Umi chashide. Are they really chashud? We just saw in the previous break that we brought, the difference between the kuti and Oved Kochavim is that you can be alone with the kuti because they're not chashud al shvichud damim. Ella, what's the problem? Why can't you sell it to kuti? Because he'll go then and resell it to an Oved Avodah Zarah. He'll sell it to Oved Kochavim. So you see here, there's a restriction, not only in selling to the individual themselves, Oved Kochavim himself, but selling to someone who's choshut to sell it to an Oved Kochavim. And over here, v'chi tema kuti lo Oved Tshuva, Yisrael Oved Tshuva. So you'll say, maybe there's a difference between a kuti and an Yisrael. Now the kuti and Yisrael are, at this point, are on equal footing. They both will not kill with it. They're not going to do something wrong with it. And yet, what do we say over here? That you can't sell it to the kuti because he might resell it to Oved Kochavim. Now, the kuti could also resell it to Yisrael. There's no guarantee, or it's another kuti. There's no guarantee he's going to sell it to an Oved Avodah Zarah, and yet we say it's restricted from selling it to him. So the same should be true about this Jew who's choshed to sell to Oved Kochavim. So the Gemara says, okay, what, you want to draw a distinction between a Jew and a kuti? Why? A kuti doesn't do tshuva. He'll never listen. He'll never change his ways. So there, if you tell him it's wrong, or even if he decides that maybe he wants to become a better person, he won't stop doing this. But then maybe the Yisrael will, and therefore we'll say, will give him more opportunity, will be more flexible with the Jew, because he might listen to the Chachamim. So you want to make that distinction. Just like you can't sell these weapons to a Oved Kochavim, you can also not sell it to a Yisrael who's choshed to resell to an Oved Kochavim. So you see that both of them are problematic. So this a person who's choshed to resell has the same status as the selling it directly to the and person who is problematic. So how could you sell it over here? So Rohit Batray thought the parse. Rabba ran after him for three parse, this individual he had sold the chamor to. Bigadami parse bechalo, or a parse in the sand, v'ladarach, and he never caught him. He couldn't catch up to him because he wanted to reverse the transaction because he realized that he had done something wrong. This interesting note over here is that Rabba's statement earlier on, he says, well, if I sell to this Jew who is chashud to sell it to a non-Jew, well, maybe he'll sell it to another Jew, and therefore it's not a problem. I have a tliya. He can sell it to a Jew, or he can sell it to a Oved Kochavim. Now, why is it, if you ask over here, maskana maskinen dasur lemizban Yisrael chashud. In the conclusion we just saw, you're not allowed to sell it to Yisrael's chashud. Why? Because we have to say the restriction against selling a item to a non-Jew is because lifnei ver lo titen michshol. Then you can't sell it to an Yisrael that's choshud because that's lifnei de lifnei. Meaning that you're selling it to someone who's going to violate lifnei iver and then sell it to the Oved Kochavim. So that's lifnei de lifnei. So if that's the case over here, why should it be different? Why should there be a difference if he sells it to a Jew or if he sells it to an Oved Kochavim? Yeah, we saw before that we don't have this, we don't apply this lifnei de lifnei. That when you have a double, meaning that over here, Rob is going to be a choshed that you have a person who might sell to an Oved Kochavim, we have to worry about it. How come before in Daf Yudala, we didn't worry about that lifnei lifnei? So Tosus draws a distinction over here, which is, ma'ishna lifnei lifnei de el, that we said was okay, and over here it's not, it's problematic. So he says, yeshlamar, the hotu mayr b'Oved Kochavim, over there we're talking about a non-Jew, she'enu mushara lifnei yiver. A non-Jew, a ben noach, does not have a restriction of lifnei yiver. Again, this is a sheet of Tosus, not muskam lechola rishonim, but lifnei lifnei does not apply to an Oved Kochavim, because there's no problem. If you give it to Levi Chachamim and then he does something wrong with it, you're not mitzuveh on his lifnei iver. So therefore, there's no problem when you sell it to him. On the other hand, when it comes to you sell it to a Jew who's chashud to sell it, then you're mitzuveh on his lifnei iver. And therefore, hacha, the may be so chashud, anu muzarim shlo yavo shum Yisrael l'day takala. Lifnei iver says, don't, not only do you not do something and cause someone else, but you can't cause someone else, do something that will cause someone else, because you're, he's in violation of lifnei iver, lo titem mikshol. That's one answer. The second answer Tosafot brings, the Rabbi Bachanan, behold, the chad lifnei shehu lo sheyech taiso b'sheila b'schirut v'nisudin. Right, so also over here, maybe it's not just lifnei iver to lifnei iver, it's also lifnei iver to gzeres chachamim. Gzeres chachamim is not to sell it because you might come to a real isur, which is sheiloh and to schirut and all these real isurim. So therefore it might be real lifnei iver. It's not lifnei to lifnei over here because here you have a direct connection to the Jew and the fact that he might be in violation of shvitas haShabbos. And therefore that's the problem with lifnei iver over here. When you sell to the Jew, it's chashud because he might come to violate Shabbos. And the second answer to Tosfos, it sounds like that it would be enochanami, that when it came to a goy, it would be nitzdava and lifnei, and therefore lifnei and lifnei might equally apply to a Jew as it does to a non-Jew, or equally not apply to either of them. The only reason we're chayv over here is because it's direct lifnei. That's a possibility why the second answer in Tosfos differs from the first answer in Tosfos, and that would give you a rishon again. So somebody that suggests that there might be this lifnei di lifnei by an Ovid Chachavim, or there might be lifnei ver that applies to a Ben Noach. Right, just to finish off the Gemara over here, we said, "Amar Abdimi Baravo, Kederach Shasur Dim Kol Ovid Chachamim, Asur Dim Kol Lidistim Israel." Just like you not sell these weapons to a Ovid Chachamim, you not sell them to a Jewish marauders, Jewish robbers. Hey Chidami, what's the case over here? Either Choshid the Kotil, if the Jew is Choshid on a Mishvichu Damim, of course Pshita, Hainu Ovid Chachamim, he has no different status than Ovid Chachamim. We're worried about killing, so we don't give him a weapon. Either Lo Kotil, if he doesn't kill him, I Lo, then why can't you sell him the weapons? Dolom the Lo Kotil. No, it's a case where he doesn't kill. Talking about a case of Mishmuta, Rashi talks about Mishmuta, someone who goes in, they're robbers, thieves that go in and steal money. Now, when they're chased out afterwards, the Zim and David Latzuli and Apshe, when they're chased afterwards, then they will use the weapons to protect themselves. Rashi says, protect themselves to take off with the money, we won't be able to retrieve the money. The Ran and other Rishonim suggest over here that the problem is that they're actually going to kill the people, that they will stand up in defense and use the weapons to kill others when they steal their money and they're being chased after. So that's the problem over here. The problem with sending the weapons is the possibility that they will be used for killing. They're not normally killers, so therefore you would think maybe it's mutar, but because they use them in these certain circumstances, we say, please don't do it, don't sell it to these Jews. Okay, we'll stop over here.